invite your attention, please, to the book of 1 Peter. We continue our study, and if it goes according to plan, this Sunday and next Sunday, we will finish out this book of 1 Peter. Now, I say if it goes according to plan, that's the plan that I have at this point, but every once in a while, God intervenes, and He has a different plan. And so I say that with the understanding of we're going to let God's plan be, right? But this morning, we're going to focus on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 1 through 4. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God about shepherding the flock? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you to thank you for the privilege of looking into your word. And now I pray, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. Put your words in my mouth that your people may hear from you today. We pray your will be done in this service. Give us willing hearts to respond to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Shepherd the flock. Now, as we go into this study today, this is a little different in that I don't know if I'm preaching to you or if I'm preaching to me and to the church staff. The focus is the focus of elders. You know, everybody has their idea of what pastors should be, right? And I've heard, well, different people you talk to, you're going to get different opinions. But I know this, as a pastor, an elder, you should base your expectations of a pastor or elder on Scripture, not just what you think, okay? And I say that because quite often I'm approached by people who are from other churches and they say, well, my pastor did this. Do you think that's right? And I go, whoa, no. I don't want to talk about other pastors, right? And they'll go on and tell me why they think it's wrong, and I'll just encourage them to pray about it. But I found it to my advantage to always stay away from the affairs of other churches, right? But today, as we use this word elder, I want to answer the question, first of all, what is an elder? Okay? Matter of fact, you don't hear that word much in the Baptist church today. But the word elder, it means that it's one or those who have been entrusted with the spiritual care of God's people. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Those who have been entrusted with the spiritual care of God's people. Pastors, bishops, and elders, as used in the New Testament, is often used interchangeably. And I know the church today, and most churches today, are ran or conduct their business based on democracy. We have a business meeting and everybody votes, right? Y'all know that's not the way they did it in the first churches. All right? I don't want to bust your bubble, and I'm not saying we need to do anything different, but the Church of Jerusalem and the churches of that day were directed by elders. And the idea of an elder is not just some guy who just suddenly appears on the scene. As a matter of fact, that word elder carries the idea of age or experience, right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, in the description of qualifications of a pastor, we're told that he's to not be a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride and fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, novice is literally, that Greek word means newly planted. And the idea there is he can't be a new convert. Now, understand, as a new convert, you cannot put a new convert in a leadership role in the church. The reason is because they lack the experience to fulfill that responsibility. You see, an elder must be a seasoned man that is mature in the faith. He has to have experience. As a matter of fact, that's why Peter said in verse 1, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. What he's saying when he shares that with us, he's just pointing out, listen, I've been there, done that. I've walked with Christ. I've been there. I was there when Jesus preached. I was there when Jesus was crucified. I was there when Jesus rose from the grave. I was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And he's giving the idea of experience. Matter of fact, Peter, you know, when he was with Jesus and during the ministry of Jesus, Peter goes from being a hot-headed, speak your mind, sometimes a hindrance kind of an individual, to a guy who was leading the first church that was an explosive church in Jerusalem. And you know what changed him? Well, first of all, baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and Peter there in Acts chapter 2. But the other thing that changed him was experience. So the first thing I want you to understand is, to be an elder, he has to be seasoned or experienced. I'm not saying he can't be a young man. I'm saying he can't be a new convert. He has to have experience. So, now, elder has the responsibility of the spiritual care of God's people. And that's what we're going to answer. What are those responsibilities? What are the responsibilities of an elder? Well, verse 2 says to shepherd the flock. Take care of the sheep. You know, elder slash pastor. And when I say elder, I want you to understand I'm not limiting to pastors. Right? You can be a pastor. As a matter of fact, if you're a pastor, you're an elder. But not all elders are pastors. So, the idea there, we're talking to pastors and church leaders. And the instruction is to take care of the sheep. You're not there to entertain. You're not there to please. You're not there to be politically correct. You're there for the spiritual well-being of people. What does that look like? Well, an elder is supposed to oversee the flock. Oversee the sheep. Now, overseer is literally one that's responsible and accountable. Now, I want you to think of the leaders of this church. None of them are perfect, including the pastor. But I do want you to understand that the leadership of this church, whether it's pastors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, these guys are responsible and even accountable for your spiritual well-being. Myself included. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. We're told, obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those, here's what I want you to get, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pastors, teachers, church leaders, you are accountable, and you are not just accountable to me or some other part of the church. You will stand accountable before God as to how well you fill your position of leadership and encourage the spiritual growth of other people within this church. And because of that, the priority of a shepherd, a pastor, a spiritual leader, has to be the well-being of his sheep. There are no titles at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Say, yes, Brother Doug, there are. There are deacons, there are pastors. Titles mean nothing. Instead, it's not about wearing a title. It's about how you do what God calls you to do. Okay? As a church leader. I can walk around all day long saying, oh, I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. That carries no weight. What carries weight is, are you growing because I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church? As a matter of fact, as a pastor, as a church leader, an elder has to nourish the sheep. John chapter 21, we're going to read there. And Peter's and Jesus are talking. In verse 15, it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, you can preach several sermons from these few verses, but I want to point out, as it relates to what we're studying today, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He's saying, if you love me, Peter, this is what you will do. And so that's the first question an elder must ask. A pastor, a teacher, someone in that leadership role has to ask, do I love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, stop. Right? Because you're not going to get very far. And you're certainly not going to be successful at what you do. But if you love Jesus, first of all, you've got to feed the lambs. Now that phrase, feed my lambs, is talking about the young lambs. It's talking about the new converts. See, elders are tasked with the spiritual development of the new converts. And you know, sometimes we let those newly saved people fall through the cracks that should not ever be. You know, you can look, and when you look at babies, it's amazing how cute they are. Beth, last spring, got a puppy. And the puppy was this big. And riding home from getting this puppy, she is holding the puppy, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that's a sweet puppy. But the puppy's growing. Now, this puppy won't ever be really, really big. And don't get me wrong, I still love Beth's puppy. But let me tell you what this puppy did. This puppy started growing. And the more she grows, the bigger mess she becomes. She chews on stuff. She tears up stuff. Listen, I'm sitting in my recliner the other day. And it's one of them electric lazy man recliners where you don't even have to, you know, put your feet down and just push the button. So I'm stretched out in the recliner and just happy. And for some reason I decided it's time to get up. I pushed the button. The button did not work. And if you've ever sat in an electric recliner and the button quits working on you when the recliner is reclined, you're in trouble. It does not go down. You're just there and you have to crawl out. And so I crawled out and I looked around behind the recliner and looked at the motor, the recliner, everything looks good. And I looked at the wiring to the recliner, and guess what happened to the wiring? There were little doggy teeth. And the wiring had come undone. That's okay, I rewired it, it's all good now. But you know, new converts require attention. Sometimes they're a lot of trouble. And listen, if you're a new convert, please don't take this wrong. I'm glad you're here. And I count it an honor to minister to you. But I'm talking about to the leaders of this church. Sometimes you just have to back up and wrap your arms around them and hold on tight to keep them where they need to be. Because there's a world out there that is calling them out. And the first couple of years after you're saved are so vitally important. If you can get them for 2 or 3 years, you got them. But Satan's calling them back into the world, and how we do, how we lead, will make the difference. Feed my lambs. Here's what we need from you. If you're new to Victory, if you're new to the ministry, here's what we need from you. We need you to be hungry. I'm going to say that again. If you're new to the ministry, we need you to be hungry. Now, if you're hungry, what are you going to do? You're going to eat. Absolutely. You're going to eat. Back to best little puppy. One habit we've got into, first thing in the morning, I like a couple of eggs. I fix eggs. I'll fix best puppy eggs. Won't it touch my eggs? If Beth makes it, the puppy will eat her eggs. But she just... she just turned up her nose at me, right? Listen, as a new convert, you've got to eat. You've got to eat or you will starve to death. And it's my job, it's the teachers of this church's job to feed you a spiritual diet. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. My responsibility as the leader of this church is feed the lambs. We'll do that if we love Jesus. Second time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, tend my sheep. That word tend, it literally means to shepherd and guide and protect. The thing you have to understand about sheep is sheep are naturally followers. By nature, they want to follow. And without leadership, they will stay in the same place forever until they die. As a matter of fact, I'm told that without leadership, the sheep will stay in the same pasture, eat the same grass until the grass is gone, until they're eventually eating dirt. And they will drink all the water until all the water is gone, and they will stay in that spot until they die. They need a shepherd that will lead them to fresh, new pastures. As leaders of this church, as the pastor of this church, it is our responsibility to lead. Now, sometimes churches get a little hesitant to follow. Get real comfortable where we are. And we don't want to move and we don't want to change. But I want to tell you, churches that never change are churches that will die from eating the same old thing over and over and over until it's gone. And then you stay there and die. Have you ever been into a church that is dying? It's very sad. It just dwindles and dwindles and dwindles and dwindles to the point that there's nothing left. That's why leadership is so vitally important. Whether we're talking pastor, associate pastor, youth pastor, college ministry, people need someone to follow. Or else they'll stay the same old Christian that they've been forever. Third time, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep," which literally means just what it says. I want to tell you that as a pastor, the main focus has to be for me to feed you every Sunday. It requires that I give you something you can use. And once again, I need you to be hungry. I need you to have a desire for the Word of God. I need to spend a great deal of time preparing and studying so that I can give you something that you say, "Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, I wasn't aware of that." That's my goal every Sunday, is to give you something that will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. As a young pastor, I didn't understand that, you know? So I would do everything under the sun. I found myself preaching on Sunday was kind of like cramming right before a final exam. I figured out that don't work good. That doesn't work good at all. God has to prepare it in me before I can serve it to you. That requires a great deal of time and effort. And if I'm talking to myself, or if I'm talking to any of our pastors or any of our teachers, an elder who does not feed the sheep is not an elder. Okay? Period. A pastor who does not feed the sheep is not a pastor. He's just a guy hanging out. You got to feed the sheep. Amen? Do y'all expect to be fed every Sunday? Give me an amen. Absolutely. I hope you do. An elder must nourish the sheep. An elder must be an example for the sheep. That means he's got to be worth following. Listen, guys, and it concerns me as far as the youth of today go. Don't follow somebody because they're cool. I've been amazed watching through the years how styles change, you know. And we'll put on different clothes. And I remember back in the day, the first time I saw a young man who had cut a cross in the back of his hair. And I thought, what? I bring this up. Just to take, don't go with fads. Go with the tried and true. All right? The Word of God. I know that some people are more attractive than others. I know that some people are more cool than others. But let me tell you, cool is not always the answer. You don't need cool. You need a meal from the Word of God. And if they're not serving the Word of God, they're not worth following. Finally. Oh, no, not finally. But we're getting closer to finally. What are the restrictions of an elder? Okay, this is what an elder does. What is he not supposed to do? Well, he's not supposed to serve by compulsion. That means serve because you have to, or you feel like you have to. I've heard people say, well, if I don't do it, nobody will. Listen, if you're doing something God has not called you to do, then you better let nobody do it. What happens when you do things you're not called to do is you begin to resent it. I speak from experience. When I first surrendered to preach, all I knew was what I saw other pastors do. And I tried to mock them or do what they did. And you know what? Most of what other pastors did was wrong. Their focus was not the correct focus. Now, I've known a lot of good men, and I'm not casting stones. But here's what I know. If you don't do what God calls you to do, you will grow in the ministry regretting your ministry. Don't ever let anybody talk you into something you do not have a burden for. I've often went to people and said, hey, would you like to teach this class? No, Brother Doug, I don't want to teach this class. And I want you, you have my official permission to tell me no if you know God's not leading you in this area. We don't want you there. Amen? We want you to be where God has called you to be. That's part of leadership. Right? So don't serve by compulsion. Don't serve for dishonest gain. How do you put it? Well, that's exactly what I said. Not for dishonest gain. Where the phrase dishonest gain is, it's disgraceful manner to profit. A pastor should be compensated for his work. Associate pastors, our pastors should be compensated. It's how we survive, right? As 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and deed, and word and doctrine. And I've heard people say, well, I don't think pastors should receive any pay. Okay, I guess you're entitled to your opinion. It doesn't match Scripture, though, right? It's okay to be paid. It's not okay to be greedy and dishonest in about with the ministry. There are people in it for money. Religion is big bucks, right? And when you're sending in $100 somewhere, so they'll send you a prayer rag, red flag. When you're sending in money to an evangelist that's running all over the world in his own private jet that he's buying with your offerings, red flag. You know, don't be taken advantage of, is what I'm saying. A real elder, a real pastor, a real church leader is there for the glory of God and for your well-being, your spiritual well-being. Right? Don't fall for the crooks. Then as an elder, don't lord over the sheep. I'm reminded as I thought about this, sheep do not belong to me. I don't know how many times I've talked to people outside the church and they've said, well, your church, it's not my church. Matter of fact, I don't even want it to be my church. This church belongs to God. Jesus is the head, right? I'm just an under shepherd. My goal is to follow Jesus and to provide for the sheep. I have no right, nor does any leader have a right to overpower or dominate the membership. That's what the word Lord means, okay? Funny thing about sheep. Did you know you cannot drive sheep? Sheep won't drive. What I'm talking about is get behind them like you would cattle. Sheep won't drive. Sheep follow. If you're going to be an elder, if you're going to be a church leader, if you're going to be a pastor, you don't drive people. You lead people. They'll follow. But they won't drive. That's why as a shepherd, you take the time to get to know the sheep and you take the time to be trusted by the sheep so that when the time comes, they will follow. As an elder, you must first win their trust, not lord over them and dominate and tell them what they will do. Then finally, we made it. The rewards of the elder. He said in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You know, I've heard people say, I would never be a pastor. I'd respond to that, say I would never be anything else. See, the key is when God calls you. Right? If God doesn't call you, the ministry is not a career. Right? The ministry is not something that you make a career. The ministry is a calling that you answer. And when God calls, He will put a joy within you. Now, I'm not saying there are not hard times. I'm not saying that there's times that you do things that you really didn't want to do. But when God calls, He will give you a joy for the ministry that He calls you to. Right? But the real joy you have to keep in mind is not in this life. As a pastor, I know this life is not all there is, and this life is not my reward. There is a reward laid up for me in heaven, eternal, that'll never fade away. As a matter of fact, that's what he says when he said the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. You know, the real way this is presented, it's not talking about a physical crown. We want to think of there is a physical crown of glory. No. It literally is presented that you will be crowned with glory. Now that's a big difference. I'm not going to go through heaven wearing this big crown. Instead, I'm going to go through heaven crowned with glory. Well, what is that? Matthew 17:1. Jesus experienced it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, after the 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them on the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Moses did the same thing. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to talk with God, he would come back down to talk to the children of Israel, and he would be glowing. Here's the deal. Michael, one of these days, you're going to glow. Kelly, can you imagine walking through heaven glowing? Where's old Josh? Ken. Ken's going to glow. If you're a faithful leader, elder, there is a special reward for you that extends beyond this life. And the reason you need to remember this is because sometimes as you serve in this life, it gets tough. There are times you want to quit. There are times that you don't want to do it. There are times that it's just hard. But you have to keep in mind, this life is not your reward. The next life is your reward. Can you imagine having a glow about you? Walking through heaven, and as you walk by, people look at him and say, hey, that guy was a pastor. He was a faithful pastor. He was a faithful servant of the church. He was a faithful teacher. He was a faithful elder. Because you, have you ever been in a crowd and picked out the preachers without knowing who they were? It's kind of the same concept. You're going to be crowned with glory as a servant of God. As an elder, a faithful servant of God. You may be here today. And this is kind of a little deeper message than normally on Sunday morning. But let me tell you, You need to know what you can expect out of pastors and elders and church leaders. And it's not a popular a popularity contest. It's not a political deal. That the guys that are ministering, the focus had better be the spiritual well-being and growth of the sheep. And if that's not being provided, I don't care where you're going. I don't care who your leader is. You need to find a new shepherd. Right? But you may be here today and it's foreign to you because you don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. I hear all the time people say, "Preacher, one of these days I'm going to be saved. One of these days I'm going to give my heart to Jesus." I hear that often. I hear, "Boy, I hope when I die I go to heaven." If you're hoping, you're probably not going because you don't understand salvation. See, salvation is meant to be something that you know. As a matter of fact, the whole book of 1 John is all about knowing. He writes so that you may know. If you don't know you're going to heaven, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day you need to take care of it. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. Listen, I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth. God loves you so much, He gave His Son to die as the propitiation for your sin. That's a big religious word, as Jesus took your punishment upon the cross of Calvary. So you wouldn't have to. So that you could have a relationship with God. But you do not receive that forgiveness apart from Jesus Christ. So today I beg you, today I plead with you. You know there is a heaven. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father except by me." The only way you're going to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you're trusting anything else, you're not going. Right? But if you've never trusted Christ, let me beg you. Not only is heaven real, hell is real. Hell was not made for you. It was created for Satan and his angels. And God never intended for you to go there. I've often heard people say, "I don't believe God would send anybody to hell." They're right. God will not send anybody to hell. You choose hell when you reject Jesus. It's your choice. All right? My prayer to you or for you today is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, first step, is come to Him for salvation. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to study and to grow. And Lord, I pray that as a pastor, I'll be faithful. That I will faithfully tend the sheep and feed the sheep. And be faithful in every aspect of ministry. But Lord, I pray for this church, for those, not only myself, but are in leadership positions, for our associate pastors, I pray for them. For their strength, for their passion. I pray they'll feed the sheep. I pray for our teachers that stand before their classes every week, Lord, that You'll empower them to feed the sheep. I pray for our deacons, Lord, that You will just stir in them and that they too will look out for and provide for the sheep. Father, I pray now in this service that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.